It's been a heartbreaking week. I had agreed to come before the latest massacre and before the move of the Americans moving their embassy to Jerusalem and becoming complicit in the occupation. I came to participate in a forum held by the UN, by the Committee for the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People, in which we are supposed to discuss the Nakba 70 years after the Nakba and what are the
catastrophe, as it's known in English.
The Nakba is the catastrophe in 1948, and what are the steps or lessons that are learned from these 70 years in order to pave the way forward for a sustainable and just peace.
Obviously, you've been involved in peace negotiations for decades now. Are we at an absolute low point as far as you're concerned in terms of there being a complete absence, it seems, of even potential dialogue at the moment?
Yes, the question is not dialogue or the absence or presence of dialogue. The question is whether there is the political will and the commitment to peace to take the necessary steps to achieve a sustainable peace. What we have seen since we began negotiations in 1991 was an entrenchment of the occupation, an increase in unilateralism, an increase in total rejection of the imperatives of peace, actually the systematic dismantlement and destruction of the components of peace, the expansion of settlements, the annexation of Jerusalem, the ethnic cleansing taking place in Palestine, all these steps that render peace impossible. It's not a question of talking or dialogue or negotiations. It's a question of acting in a way consistent with the requirements of peace.
And what's your message from the West Bank perspective, if you like, to people in Gaza this week? I mean, obviously senior UN officials have also called on Hamas, the leadership there, to exercise restraint in terms of inciting the situation.
First of all, we, the people of Palestine, whether in the West Bank or Gaza, are one people. And we share the same pain, the same sorrows, the same aspirations, the same hopes. So I don't find any distinction. Our ways of struggle may be different, our means are different in the West Bank with the checkpoints and so on, and the siege with Gaza, the blockade and the horrible cruelty and massacres carried out. Now, you don't know how angry it makes me when I hear people telling me you should send a message to Hamas. Palestinian people are not a push-button people. It is not Hamas who is responsible for the killing fields that Israel has carried out in Gaza. The people who are on this march to return, on these unarmed civilian protests against the moving of the American embassy, against the recognition of Israel, of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, against the continued siege, these are expressions of will by the Palestinian people. They are protesting, demonstrating on their own lands. They are sending a message not just to Israel but to the rest of the world that we are a people who are alive and we want to live and we want our freedom and we want our rights. This is not a sort of incitement or instigation by Hamas. And blaming Hamas the way this repugnant language of Nikki Haley and Jared Kushner and so on is entirely unacceptable, because they find in Hamas a convenient scapegoat in order not to hold Israel accountable for the horrific massacres, for the willful and deliberate killing of innocents, of Palestinians. This is entirely unacceptable, and they should look at the situation without the haze of Israeli disinformation and American lies.
And in terms of aspirations for full Palestinian statehood, how important is the United Nations still? How important is it for you to come here and have a seat at the table?
It's very important to have a seat at the table. It's very important for Palestine to be a member. We want to be a full member. We want to be recognized as a state, albeit under occupation, because it's the responsibility of the international community, of the UN, to protect its member states, to protect all peoples, even people who are not states, because we are a vulnerable people and we are under occupation and we are seeking protection for the Palestinians and accountability for our occupier, for Israel. The thing is, the Nakba is an ongoing process, the negation of a whole nation, the holding of a nation in a state of captivity and enslavement, the sense that Israel has the full right to do whatever it wants to the Palestinians and get away with it with full impunity. These are the things that have to be addressed. And we are going to accede to international charters and agreements. We will join organizations in order to empower ourselves and find the instruments of holding Israel to account. And in participating with the international community, we are not facing a test of value or worth. We know we are worth it. We know we deserve it. We know the right to self-determination is not a concession, it's a right. But we also want to engage with the rest of the world in all their fora and mechanisms and so on to be able to be a member of this community of nations and to protect ourselves, but also to ensure that international law is respected and implemented and that peace may be an achievable objective.
And finally, if the United States is no longer a trusted peace broker in any form from the Palestinian perspective, what are the next steps towards actually being able to sit down again with Israel and resume negotiations?
Negotiations have not worked with Israel because Israel used them as an instrument of power. Negotiations are a means and not an end. And the peace process has served Israel's interests by giving it, buying it more time to create more facts unilaterally. So it's not our objective just to talk to Israelis. We've been talking since 91. What has happened? What we need is to be able to curb Israeli violations, to be able to bring it to compliance with international law, and to respect the building blocks of peace instead of destroying them. So what we need is for the UN to respect its own charter, its own legislation, its own mandate, and to treat all peoples equally, to hold Israel to account, to carry out, you know, the necessary steps, not just to curb the horrific violations by Israel, but also to empower the Palestinians and to implement its laws. We want a new multilateral mechanism. We want a new international engagement. The U.S. certainly has joined Israel as a partner in crime. It has joined Israel in violating international law and the resolutions of the Security Council on Jerusalem and so on. So what we need to do is to bypass these obstacles, to bypass this preferential treatment that Israel gets, to act with impunity, to bypass American coercion and blackmail and pressure, and to find a sort of global forum for the solution.
Is a two-state solution still possible?
This is very much in doubt. It's very questionable. Unless there is the will to engage, to intervene effectively, not just to end the settlement activities, but to begin to dismantle settlements, Israel will have succeeded in superimposing greater Israel on all of historical Palestine.